ordination and coming back looking resplendent and wearing something different. One of the first questions I had, which I think is I'm going to ask Lucy, was just about coming back to this country. You've obviously been somewhere very different, looking at you. But one of the things people often say is that coming back from somewhere like India can be just as hard, or even harder sometimes, to adust to than actually going somewhere like India in the first place. I just wondered how you felt coming back to the UK after being somewhere where people wear this kind of thing.
Yeah, it was really strange after spending 6 months, and we kind of made a kind of visible effort to really get involved in the culture there, because we knew that we'd be there for a fairly long time, so we thought, yeah, let's just go for it and get really involved. So then after doing that for 6 months, it was a bit strange thinking of coming back to normal life in England and our kind of daily routine. And I think there was just kind of things that we hadn't thought about that were just so different. So like kind of I turned on the top water tap and the hot water came out. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, the sun's been on the water pipes, because that was kind of the only time that we'd really get hot water. And like hot showers were just kind of blew our minds. just kind of different things like that. And some of us had a bit of an issue, like adjusting back to the food here. And what did you say? Oh, the roads are just amazing here. I don't think I've ever appreciated them. But yeah, I think it was just strange being in a kind of a country that even they would say is a third world country and is still being developed so much. And then you come back here and there's just kind of the scale of things is just kind of so much more than there. And all the houses there were kind of built on kind of bamboo stilts and things. And then we came back here and there's these huge buildings. And I think it was just a bit strange. Because it's just a completely different world. And we knew that before we left. But yeah, it was just a bit odd.
Thank you. Probably keep this up, Mike, actually. The other question I've got really follows on from that, because BMS, I know, do a huge amount of preparation, or you spend a lot of time preparing to go out, somewhere to a different place. What's been your experience of working with BMS World Mission? I mean, this church, like many people, will have heard of BMS, and we know we support BMS, but what is BMS, and what's been your experience of working with this organisation?
And we've actually, as a team, been really impressed with how BMS have prepared us for this year.
Good.
We spent a month before we went out training, doing various workshops and seminars and sessions, making sure that we were as prepared as we could to go out and live in a different culture. And it's been really interesting. And we train at a place called IMC, which is very close to you, in Selly Oak, and it's a place where they train all of their missionaries, so it gave us a really good chance to get an idea of all the work that BMS does. We met a lot of families who are doing long-term mission in various countries and talked to them lots about what they're going to be doing and the work they're doing. And one thing that's stood out for me as we've worked with the charity is how much they try and stick to their vision, and their vision is just it involves helping people to encounter Jesus, as you've been talking about, improving quality of life, encouraging and discipling people. And I think they're really good focuses for a charity. And that's one thing we've tried to stick to as well as we've gone out and worked for BMS. Things that they do, they send long-term missionaries out as well as people on action teams. And they also send short-term people out as well for just a couple of weeks. So it varies. And they all work... So as action teams, we worked alongside long-term missionaries to make sure that projects are keeping going. They don't just go to a place for us to have an experience. They try and help the people and really keep helping people until they can support themselves. So in Mizoram, the Baptist Church of Mizoram has taken over the work that BCM has done, BMS has done. And that's just a really testament to what BMS has been doing in the countries. They work until they can sustain themselves. And I think that shows a good charity.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, I think the vision has developed and grown, obviously, over the years. But I think I would just encourage everybody to find out more about BMS, because as a church, we do support them quite significantly. But often... It can just be, we know some money goes to BMS, but we don't know that much about what they do. There is a prayer guide, isn't there, that you can use to...
There's a prayer guide that you can sign up for, and they also have a very good website if you want to find out more, which is really easy for us to look at, really.
But when you think about BMS, this is it. and much more besides. So that's really good. Matt, Miss Q, when you went to India, I mean, obviously different culture, different clothes, different food, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But did you find going there as a Christian, all kind of enthusiastic for this new experience, that your faith was challenged, that you found that there were maybe, I don't know, you were asking questions about what you believe or what your experience of God has been prior to going there?
Yeah, I mean, Christianity in that culture is really quite different from ours, and it's quite traditional. So I think, I don't know about the other members of the team, but I found myself really challenged by how traditional, how black and white their views were on some things like alcohol, for example. They would just, if you drank, they would say you might not be Christian.
Right.
And like stuff like that just really sort of challenged me a lot. And also on the flip side, there's a lot of them who like had so much biblical knowledge and just so much wisdom. And it kind of challenged me that I'm supposed to be coming out here as a missionary, but, you know, these people, some of them know more than I do, and it kind of just challenged me that maybe I don't read my Bible enough, maybe I'm not committed enough sometimes.
And what about the sort of the things that you encountered sort of beyond the church? I mean, obviously, we know India as a place which is predominantly Hindu, there are people of other faiths, Sikh, Muslim, Buddhist, and so on. I mean, was that a challenge to you, or were you fairly comfortable with that experience?
It was a bit of a challenge. We spent most of our time in Mizoram, which is predominantly Christian, but we visited the team in Kolkata for a bit, and just seeing so many people who don't, like, haven't heard God's word kind of did feel a bit challenging in terms of, like, why haven't they heard? Why aren't we doing more, like, along those lines?
Brilliant. And Bruce, let me ask you this finally. Just, I mean, can you illustrate for us how you, either personally or as a team, have experienced Jesus being with you through this?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, being safe and being alive, being injury free is really kind of proof that Jesus has been walking with us. Because when you think about it, 6 months is a long time to be kind of illness and kind of serious illness and injury free for like the whole time, when in a place where health and safety just doesn't exist really. I mean, in the school we were, there were big construction steel spikes sticking out the floor, like on at the bottom of the staircase and things like that. So it was, I think God was with us, keeping us safe for the whole time. And kind of what I find useful, this has actually just come to me, so kind of prepare yourselves for kind of spontaneous illustration, but I imagine kind of us walking down this corridor and Jesus being the kind of man with the keys, really, and there's doors, and I mean, there were so many opportunities just opened up to us while we were there that we had no idea that they would be before we went. I mean, I just imagine Jesus with the keys just walking along with us, opening every door we walk past. So yeah, that's how I think about it, and I think that's how our team thinks about it.
Lovely. That's great. We're going to hear a bit more from you now about your experiences there. I don't need this, do I? About your experiences there, and see some of the sites that you've been getting used to over the past few months. And then, Sonia, I think you're going to be sharing from God's Word with us, which we're looking forward to as well. And then I'll be back up in a bit. Over to you.
So we've prepared a little PowerPoint. So just in case you forgot where we were, India. There you go. Mizoram, you can see, is in the corner. It's a northeastern state, and it's we were told this before we went, but we really realized it when we were there. It's not India. It's completely different to anything you'll find in India. The culture, the people, the food, everything's different. So, wait, we haven't got a clicker. Where's the clicker? Oh, Lisa's got it. So, we've got a couple of nice shots we took. We all took these photos just to warm you up, really. So, Lungli, this is our view from our flat. We took this from our roof. So, go back a bit. So, this is the main town. It's about a 10-minute rickshaw ride from our house, really. So, it's got all the stuff we need, like the bazaar and all things like that. So this is a nice view, I guess, some hills. It was when we were kind of on long car journeys through Mizoram. That would be a kind of regular thing. This was some of our friends who owned a farm. So we went in there and did some kind of traditional stuff, like kind of eating traditional food and some farming. This is Saturday morning. Is it? Yeah. Saturday morning, where this is the market. They call it a bazaar over there, and it's really busy at that time. It might have been Christmas or something. I don't know. This is where we were living, just on the other side of that road. So this was out from like a building site, I think we took it along. And there's some, as you can see, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. The houses are, it's so kind of, all the houses are different, and it just looks, it's so kind of stimulating to look at, really. You've got lots of kind of stilted houses and trees and dense kind of bamboo forests, so it's really beautiful. And this is inside the bazaar, the market, where we bought all of our kind of fruit and things. So there's lots to buy there. It's quite dark. So it's, I don't think I'd like to work there. Like, there's lots of kind of things happening. It's quite fun to be in, though.
So the man in the middle at the back there is our supervisor, and he was the person who's tasked by BMS with just keeping us safe, keeping us alive, and organizing our projects, and just, he was there to give us help and advice, and I think we would have had a completely different time without him. So he's called, his full name is KL Biak Chungnunga, which is quite hard for us, so we called him Biaka. And he was a really respected man in the community, especially for his preaching and his Bible knowledge. And he helped us so much along the way. He gave us miso lessons to help us communicate with the people a bit more in their own language rather than just using English. And at the end, we sort of, when we were feeling a bit spiritually dry after a while, because we've been giving out so much, but we didn't understand anything in the church services and we didn't really have any spiritual input, he sort of offered to do a Bible study with us. And so we learned a lot from him in that way. And the person at the front is his cousin, his nephew, even David, who, he was like our best friend when we were there, and he was our guide. And throughout the first weeks, he would take us around and correct the mistakes we made and just help us to get used to the society and sort of get used to living there.
So this is the first of our projects. We're going to kind of go through the main things that we did throughout the 6 months. So this is BHSS Junior School, and we spent a lot of our time here. So Monday to Friday, we were nearly there kind of the whole day from about 9 till 3, teaching English, which was good for us because we kind of knew that off the back of our hand. this is one of our classes, and it doesn't actually look like that many people, but there is actually 60 kids there. So kind of all our classes were about 60 minimum, which is a bit mental at the beginning, and sometimes made disciplining them a bit difficult because it was obviously in a different language. But actually most of them were just so much fun to teach, and we really loved being there. We also got to lead the devotions. So every Monday morning, they'd have about an hour and a half devotion. And because it was a school run by the Baptist Church, so they kind of put quite an emphasis on trying to get the kids to start off the week in the right way, which was with God. And we actually, towards the end, we were getting asked to do, I think, nearly every week of leading their devotion, which was a massive honour because we were able to share our faith and we got to do a short Bible message between us, and we got to sing songs with them. I think this was doing some sort of action song, kind of One Way, Days of Elijah and that kind of thing. So that was something that we immensely enjoyed. And no, we're going to go back to that one. This was like one of the most surreal moments, I think, of our time there, because we were like, I think it was like our second week, and they had like a student's day, and they were like, oh, all the male teachers are dressing up as women. So we'd been told, oh yeah, conservative India. And they're like, they literally cross-dress at every opportunity. It's hilarious. So the boys kind of got involved, not really knowing any of the teachers that well, but it was hilarious. But yeah, the school was something we all enjoyed so much. I think a lot more than we thought we would. Going, it was kind of, oh, we're teaching, like, this is crazy. None of us are really qualified as teachers. But actually, there's no other white people there, so there's no other people to speak English with apart from the locals. So they loved having actual kind of brought up English speakers to practice with, and we got to spend a lot of one-on-one time with the kids, helping them with pronunciation and just, yeah, practicing their English, because for them English really is kind of a means to getting a job and kind of breaking the cycle of just kind of market jobs and things like that. So yeah, we really loved being able to help with that and serve the community in that way.
Two nights a week, we went to a boys' and a girls' hostel. So this is basically a boarding school. And there are still many rural areas in Mizoram. And to get an education, there isn't any high schools in those areas. So the youth from those areas would come to the town to get an education, and they would stay in boarding schools. And we helped every week. So we went just for a couple of hours, and we would chat with them. We would play sports, mainly at the boys' hostel. Like, that was playing football with a sock ball, which was fun. It was really strange kicking a very small ball, but we got used to it. The boys were much better at every sport than us because they'd play every day. And then in the evenings, we would, at the boys' hostel, we led their devotion. So every evening they would have a half an hour time of worshipping God, and you would have a message. So once a week, each of us would share from the Bible something that we felt God thought they needed to know. This was a really great time for us to minister to them. And in the girls' hostel, we joined their quiet times. So every evening, they would all, in their own rooms, have a time of like a kind of a Bible study. So every week, we would go into a room and share. So they all got ministered to. And our time there, we really felt the youth was the reason why we were there. Third world countries, they often look to Western countries, and there are so many Christians in Mizoram. But when they watch the TV, they only see non-Christians in the Western world. They don't see people of faith on the TV. And that's all their insight into the Western world, really. So us going there set an example of how you can still follow Jesus in a world which is so commercial and really be a light for Jesus. So hopefully we inspired them through that.
Okay, so this is the BCO orphanage, the Baptist Church orphanage. So it's run by the Baptist Church and funded there. So we would go every Monday evening and spend a few hours there. We'd start kind of by sometimes kind of helping feed them and things. And as you can see, they're all absolutely adorable. They're ages 0 to 3. So there's, I think, by Christmas, lots of them are left. So there wasn't actually that many kids there. But, I mean, we still had a great time. The problem was at the start, because lots of them don't actually speak, none of them speak English. Obviously the kids don't, like the kids don't even speak Mizo yet, but the mothers, which are the staff, they don't speak English at all. So it was quite difficult, because they knew a tiny bit of English and we knew a tiny bit of Mizo. So we could kind of interact slightly. But towards the end, like, we prayed about it a lot, and as we got going, we realized that, I think Michelle told us before we left that 80% of communication is non-verbal. So thank you for that, because it's absolutely true. We found out that we could communicate through laughter. So we would laugh at them, they would laugh at us. Like, we'd make a mistake in Mizo and say something strange, they'd just dissolve into hysterics at us, and we'd do the same to them. So it was really great, and we had a great time. And by the end, like, we can honestly say they're all our really good friends now, and they didn't want us to leave, and we didn't want to leave. Is that the only picture for it? Is that? The really, really cute kids. Everyone said that the kid in the middle had the same face. Like, I could do an impression of the kid in the middle's face, but it wasn't actually doing the face at the time. But it's very cute kids. Oh, yes, they're there because it's not a kind of traditional orphanage where both the parents have passed away. So there's lots and lots of different cases. So some of the kids will have both parents deceased. Some of the kids their mothers will have been deceased, but not their fathers. And in that society, it's unacceptable for a father to bring up a child on his own. So they would be there. In some cases, the children's parents had mental illnesses or disabilities that would prevent them from looking after them properly. So there's lots of different cases, really. So it's quite interesting to hear their stories and things like that.
So TKP was a youth group for the church, and although they call it a youth group, the TKP itself was actually for 18 to 40. So if you're under 40 and not married, you're apparently youth. But we did a lot of work with the TKP Junior, which was more like a traditional British youth group in a sense that it's 14 to 18, people who've been baptized. And we did, to start with, we went there as helpers. We were sort of answering questions they had about us and things. But eventually they asked us to start leading some of the sessions. So in that one, we were doing prayer stations because they wanted us to lead it like an English youth group, and so we decided that we'd do something with them to show them there are like more different ways to pray and other ways to talk to God and talk to Jesus. Next one. And this was with the main TKP, the older one, and they were doing a fundraiser. So they were washing blankets for the community in the local river. So they sort of dug holes, filled them with water and soap, and then rinsed them in the main river. Yeah, same thing.
Every Friday night we joined the local choir at our church, and yeah, it was just we found it a really good opportunity to get involved in the community straight away. So the first or second week we were there, we joined the choir, and they really encouraged us in so many different ways as to how to settle into the community. And it was a place we really made good friends. And we also learned a few new skills there. So first of all, it really helped us with our pronunciation of the language, because we all normally always sang mezzo songs. But they also use something called tonic sulfur. So instead of staff notation, which is the notes, they use tonic sulfur. So we learned how to read tonic sulfur, which is using the do, re, mi, and it just says like D and F and things, and it's really difficult at first, but you get used to reading that instead of notes. So that was an interesting skill to learn.
So yeah, that's kind of a brief overview of our time in Mizoram. I hope you can kind of see how much we loved our 6 months there, and God really worked through what we did, and he was definitely there with us in all of the kind of crazy things that we got asked to do that we felt like we had no experience in whatsoever. but we're so grateful for how he guided us and everything. So before we kind of move on, has anyone got any questions they'd like to ask that we didn't answer in that? Oh, yes, Paul. So I don't know if you've read any of our blogs, but there was one particular time, which I think we'll look back on as one of our most memorable times, which was when we went to a wedding of quite a close friend. And so we were seen as part of the family, which was really nice of them. But someone told us about a certain tradition that they had, which was that you were allowed to... So we were friends of the groom, and apparently it's a tradition that of the bride's family, you're allowed to go and steal a chicken on the night of the wedding. And we were like, no, that's not true. Like, you're just pulling our leg. But no, we found from quite a few people that you could legit just go and steal a chicken from them that they would bring to the groom's house. So we thought, we're trying to get in with the culture, so we'll go and have a go. So about midnight, I think it was one night, we went and kind of had all our torches and kind of made a bucket for the chicken. And we just went along. Sonia did the actual picking up, because she's from the countryside, so we thought she was the most qualified. And we kind of snuck up with our torches, grabbed the chicken and ran, really. yeah, we had the bucket to put it in, and it stayed in our bathroom for like 2 days. because we meant to call our supervisor to come and pick it up, because he didn't know that we'd stolen it, and it was from his house that we'd taken it.
We didn't have the heart to kill it, so we just kept it. Because the tradition is you kill it and cook it. But, I mean, none of us were willing to kill a chicken in our own bathroom. So we just we called up our supervisor, and then we just presented him with the chicken in a bucket. And he was that was close. He kind of was quite hysterically laughing for a while. And then he went on to tell kind of in every church service and every kind of group of people about the story in front of us, which they would start hysterically laughing as well. So, it was a great, it's a great story. Any other questions?
Oh, well, if you want to talk to us again after the service, feel free.
Feel free.
We'll hand over to Sonia.
If it's okay, I think I might take my headdress off. It's not that comfortable. So today I'm going to talk about the thing I think has had the biggest impact on my life from learning being in Mizoram. And I think we've all learned so many things, but the one I'm going to talk about today is having the confidence God will give me the right words in every situation. And there's a reading from Matthew 10, verse 19 to 20. which has really spoken to us throughout our whole time away. It reads, "Don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of the Father speaking through you." This has served as a constant reminder that the Holy Spirit will speak through us in everything we do. Before I went to Mizoram, I really struggled with confidence about talking about God. I was always scared that someone might turn further away from God from what I say, or that what I say won't be the true word of God. And I was really scared about this. And especially in England, the media really doesn't give Christianity a good name. And I just really didn't want to make that name any worse in what I said. But I found that in my fear of doing that, I didn't bring anyone closer to God either. And in Mizoram, we were often asked to speak at things, and especially words from the Bible, like we were saying in the TKP youth or especially at the hostels. And every time we were asked to speak, we didn't really, when we were asked, have anything to share. But we would always go home and pray and read the word of God. And then after that, we would always have something to share and something that God would put on our hearts. And from that experience, I now believe that every time that was God giving us the words and the Holy Spirit in us giving us the words. As Christians, we believe we have the answer to life here on earth and the answer to joy and happiness. And I think that we should really want to share that if we truly believe that. And another thing, while we were away, we found it really difficult sometimes, especially me, to see why we were there and how God was working through us. We didn't really see any, as such results to the work we were doing. We didn't see thousands come to faith or anything like that. But I think it's something we have to do as Christians is to simply trust that what we're saying can affect people's lives. We might not see people straight away come to God, but we have to believe that in what we say and what we do, people are seeing God and they're feeling seeds are being planted in their hearts. And this verse has reminded us that because of the Holy Spirit, God can use us all the time, even if we're not aware of it sometimes. And in every situation, I truly believe that God wants to work through us. And no matter where you are, whether you're in Mizoram for us or whether you're here, I want to encourage you that mission is just as much encouraging people in their faith and supporting them as bringing people to faith as well. And in the Bible, it talks a lot about faith in terms of planting seeds or as a plant. And there's many reasons for this, but two I want to mention today is that one, a plant takes a really long time to grow, and it takes a long time for it to establish strong roots. And I think faith is the same, that actually faith can take a long time for people. People can hear about God for years before and not come to faith for years. And it's different for everyone. Each plant takes a different amount of time to grow and a different amount of time for the roots to establish. And the second thing is that every day a plant needs a different amount of the things it needs. And I think for Christians, we need different things each day as we're challenged in different ways. So for example, a plant might need more sunshine, will have more sunshine some days, and therefore will need more water some days. And I think for Christians, some days we need more worship and we need to worship God more. But other days we might need more theological teaching. And these are quite different things. And as humans, once we've had a seed landed on the good soil, we need to be encouraged and we need spiritual growth. And we also need weeds chopping down around us so they don't overcome us. And as other Christians, we can do this for each other and we can encourage each other and support each other and chop the weeds down. For us, Mizoram felt like our mission was encouraging and equipping the Christians there. And we hopefully were doing that in many different ways. And we hopefully were also planting seeds if that was what was needed. And I'm now not worried when people don't suddenly turn to faith because I've realized that it can be so difficult for people nowadays in Western worlds to come to faith. And it can take a long time. But I hope that even if it takes a long time, that we can trust that God will, in the long term, because of our work, form results. Last night out on street pastors, we had a lot of conversations with people. And after the conversation, they would walk away. And as street pastors, they truly believe that that is a way of ministering to people. But they don't see the results straight away. They just have to hope that in years to come, that seed that was planted will flourish. And in sharing our faith, we need to hold on to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful, as it says in Hebrews 10. And throughout the Bible, God promises to work through us for his glory, and we have to hold on to the fact that we have to trust in that and know that God will do that. In John 4, it talks about the harvest being ripe, but the workers being few. And as the few workers, we need to do everything we can to help the harvest. I truly believe that in this world, and especially in our country, there are so many people ready to hear God's word. And we need to do everything we can and plant as many seeds as we can and hope that they land on the good soil. And in my eyes, the more seeds you plant, the more likely they'll land on the good soil. So I want to encourage you today to encourage each other as part of mission and to speak about God in whatever, and he will speak through you. And just trust in him that he will speak through you. And don't worry, but be confident, for he will work for you as in his glory, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Do you want to just stay up here? And Matt and Bruce and Lucy, if you'd like to come as well. Could you show me, if you've hosted one of the team, either this weekend or back in September, could you just put your hand up, please? Okay, so a number of folk. And I just caught a glimpse of the delight that you have in hosting these folks when I've seen some of you interacting or coming to meet with them on Friday afternoon when we were in here. And it's been obviously a joy for you and a privilege for you to have the opportunity to host these folk. And, you know, maybe others of us need to sort of seize that opportunity next time it comes around.